everyone. I am your host, Jalpa Bausa, bringing you insight from yet another accomplished professional on this podcast, Passport to Your Cybersecurity Career. We have more jobs unfilled in cybersecurity than ever. And according to Isaac Haas Global Survey of Cybersecurity 2022, 73% of respondents whose cybersecurity teams are significantly understaffed say their organizations experience difficulties retaining qualified cybersecurity professionals. So that's the reason I have stories of professionals who have successfully transitioned to cybersecurity and having or had a career in cybersecurity. So those who are keen to break into cybersecurity can learn from these examples and accelerate their efforts and chances of landing their first role in cyber. So I'm really excited about announcing my guest today, as she is someone who I have worked with on my speaking projects over a year. And I never imagined that I'll be having my own podcast one day and having her as my guest on my podcast. So this is a huge moment for me. Without further ado, let me introduce you my guest, Emily Edgley. Emily is a public speaking and storytelling coach. She is a go-to for many of us preparing for presentation with a great impact or just boost confidence in public speaking. She has pivoted her career more than once. So I thought, who better can tell a story of identifying and leveraging transferable skills other than Emily? Welcome, Emily.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be on your podcast and congratulations on the podcast itself. And yeah, really happy to have a chat with you today.
Thank you so much. So let's dive right in. And the first thing I'm going to touch upon is you like help a lot of cybersecurity professionals today, and you have had over a decade of cybersecurity career yourself, but that's not where you started, right? So tell us about what did you study, in your school or uni, and what did you think your options of career were at the time?
Yeah, interesting question. So in high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I loved maths. And my parents were the type of people that didn't push any of us, so I'm one of three girls, into anything specifically. They just said, follow your heart, essentially. And so I thought, okay, I love maths. I will do a pure mathematics degree. And I did love the pure mathematics degree, but I got to the end of the degree, like a lot of people, and I thought, what am I actually going to do with this degree? I didn't want to be a teacher. I knew that. I didn't want to do stats, but I knew that there would be something. So I wasn't too worried. And I think I remember I sat in on a really interesting session on cryptography. I think it was, I don't know if it was at the end of my master's degree or after I'd finished. And I remember being completely fascinated by this field. Trying to conceal information from bad guys, using mathematical equations to help with that, and this whole industry around information security that I'd never really known anything about. And so based off of that 1 hour session that I think it was, I decided to do an information security master's run by the same university in the same area as my pure mathematics degree. And I honestly found it fascinating, just like I had found my pure math degree fascinating. And I started hearing stories of people that had already finished the master's, and they said to me, it's really hard to get a job, we still haven't got a job at the end of it. So I was fully expecting that it would take me a while, or that I would struggle with it. And I was, I say lucky enough, maybe it wasn't just luck, to get my dream job while I was still finishing the last year of my master's. And I landed a job as a graduate at the ANZ Bank. And funny thing, I remember saying to them, because I was working at I was working at NAB at the time, and I was just on in a call center. And so I said to them, I don't mind what I do at all. Just if I can start straight away, that'd be great. And I was thinking that they'd put me in the call center. And lo and behold, they gave me a job as an IS risk analyst. And to me, I felt like, oh, it was like, this is too good to be true at the time. So I was very lucky to go from pure maths and bounce into information security, from information security and bounce into what was my dream role at the time. And then I spent over a decade and worked my way up the cybersecurity industry and essentially leveraged the skills that I learned along the way to bunny hop into the next role.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that, Emily. And I love how you mentioned about your parents not actually enforcing anything or expecting that you have certain career or certain degree, because that is, again, not something that is very common. So I'm happy that you were able to choose what you wanted to do and you were able to explore what you like doing.
Yeah.
But also, securing a role in a bank, that's amazing. Good on you. And you had like a decade of career with the bank, right? So
yeah,
that's a great example for our listeners today. So tell me, were there any skills from your maths degree that you were able to use in your cybersecurity career? And did you identify them and were you able to successfully use them in your cybersecurity roles?
Yeah. So yes. There was skills, and in fact there was also skills not only from my maths degree that I used in my information security roles, but there was also skills I had picked up in completely unrelated roles that I had done before I went into the cybersecurity industry. I don't think I was conscious of them at the time, so if you had have asked me back then, I would have said no. And I would have thought I had no skills, right? Like, I think a lot of people, when they move into a different area or they start in the professional world, they think,
yeah,
I don't have any experience. But if I think about it, one of the biggest things that both my maths degree and my roles even before that, especially even as a call center representative, was problem solving, right? I mean, and in my maths degree, that's what it's all about. You have to work at something until you get the right answer. And if you don't get the right answer, you have to analyze why. Why didn't I get it? What have I done wrong? Etc. Follow the process. So though that analytical mindset and also the problem solving mindset, when you have someone that calls up and you're the call center operator, you could get it. I mean, you have no idea what you're going to get on the other end of the line. It could be in relation to an address issue, a card's gone missing. It could be something completely unrelated about their account. You have to get to the bottom of not only what they're telling you, but what is behind what they're telling you, because sometimes they don't explain it in the right way. So, and sometimes you don't even know yourself, so you have to try and figure it out on the fly. So I think that would be one of the most important skills that I developed back in either those roles on the call center or I developed in my mathematics degree, that absolutely is translatable to almost every role that you will take on as well, by the way, not just information security. But if you can't analyze a request that someone's given you, if you can't analyze a process that perhaps you haven't been explained properly yet, if you can't figure things out on your own, you're not going to get very far in the corporate world, because you don't have people sitting there, explaining things to you in a lot of detail. So that is a great example of something that is very transferable, that helped me from either my maths degree or from my jobs prior and helped into the cybersecurity world. Another one, if you want to take another example, would be around treating everyone with respect. And I know that you would think, hold on, it's cybersecurity. What are you even talking about? How does that fit in? But I used to work in a nursing home. So you would think there's no connection there.
Yeah, right? Completely different fields.
But if I think about it, you have to have a level of respect for anyone, regardless of their age and what they're able to do, if they can get out of bed, you know, if they can articulate themselves properly with their words, right? Everyone deserves a level of respect. And I think that role really helped me and helped solidify that. And then the way I used that in the cybersecurity industry was, as an example, when people would deal with internal audit, there was always this, you know, us and them mentality. And that I knew that that would never get people very far, because in reality, we're all the one company. We're all got the same goal. And sometimes you'd be told, don't give them this information, you know, don't tell them this. And to me, I thought, no, internal audit, just like anyone else, I have to have respect for them, treat them like I would like to be treated, etc. And that helped me to close audit items that had been open for a long time. It helped me build a relationship with internal audit where we perhaps didn't get some audit items because I could negotiate my way, you know, or around the information, etc. So there's so many instances, only looking back, that I can recognize that skill I picked up or learned on a job has really helped me in the cybersecurity industry.
Absolutely, I love that. And both your examples, like learning from a job in call center, communication and empathy and solving the problem, we can all learn from that and apply that to, you know, most other roles. Absolutely. And again, your role from nursing home, that's amazing. You shared that experience. Mm-hmm. We all need empathy and all these soft skills that are often undermined in a lot of the hiring process and job interviews. And we only talk about what skills you have, what certificates you have, and, you know, what have you done in your previous role. But I think there should be a couple of questions in the hiring process to find out the attitude of the person, what soft skills they have along with the cyber skills, which yeah. will make them successful or fit for the role or like add value to the organization. So yeah, these are equally important skills to have, in my opinion. So going to the next question, like I think we are on the right track. So what would be your advice for something or for someone who is aspiring to be in cybersecurity? Mm-hmm. How would they go about identifying the skills, leveraging, but also highlighting them maybe in an interview process or through the hiring process?
Yeah. So I think there was an element to your question around how would they get perhaps to an interview, is that right? And then how do they highlight their transferable skills in an interview?
That's correct. Yeah. So first is getting an interview, and then obviously when there is an interview, if there is any advice you have to excel in the interview as well.
Yeah. Well, number one, especially these days with the ability for us to connect with people and literally ask questions from someone we admire, someone who we know is in the industry, I would be leveraging social media to build my network. So if you are interested and you feel like you don't know anyone in that area, right? Or if you feel like I only know a couple of people, I would be connecting with those people and asking them what they know, asking for advice, seeing if they know anyone else in the particular area. So I would be trying to build a network of people that may or may not be able to help me find my particular job. I didn't do that, but that's because social media wasn't really a thing back then, if that makes sense. I would then build the skills, and it doesn't mean you have to do a degree or a master's like I did. These days, there's so many mini courses that you can do where you can build your skills in a certain area. It could be to do with, say, hacking if you're more technically minded, or it could be a capture the flag event or something like that. And then the third thing that I was thinking of would be to volunteer. And this might not be for everyone, but if you can not only learn, but build your skills in that area,
yeah,
even if it is something really small, like you find a nonprofit and you say that you can help them with risk management or whatever it is, right? That bit of experience could absolutely get you to the interview more than someone else that doesn't have that little bit of experience. So I suppose they would be the things I would do now if I went back in time. In terms of approaching the interview, I would do that so completely differently now than I would back then. So what I would be thinking about would be, what are the things that my current role has taught me? So as an example, if I was going for a role and I was thinking about, I had been in a call center, I would be thinking about, what did that role teach me, or what did that role require? Problem solving skills. Okay, great. And then I would think of a specific example. And then I would think about, how could that possibly translate to the cybersecurity industry? I don't think that is always easy for people to translate when they're not in the industry. So I think if someone is stuck in terms of that comparison, that's when they should leverage their network. Because if they ask someone that's in cybersecurity, when would you need to use problem solving? I'm not really sure how to articulate that transferable skill. Someone in the cybersecurity industry will be able to answer that question very easily. So I think the bit that the candidate would be able to do very well would be to identify the skills that they've already got and some examples of when they've put that into practice. And then the translation bit might require some help from someone in the industry. But if they've got those two comparisons, it's very easy then when they get asked a question, or when they're asked, what do you think you bring to the role? Instead of answering it with the, I don't really have any experience as yet, but that's what I'm hoping to get here, they can then respond with, I have these three transferable skills. This is how I used them in my previous roles, and this is how I expect I can add value in the cybersecurity industry with those particular skills.
Such valuable advices, Emily. Thank you so much for, again, sharing them in so much detail. And I can vouch for, you know, the one that you said about finding, like getting back to the connections to ask how those skills would be put in practice, because I think that's where the role of mentor or any connections you make who are already in cybersecurity, because they will understand what different roles in industry are, because someone who's just starting may not understand how vast cybersecurity is and how many different roles there are, and how a certain skill can be useful in a few different scenarios. So yeah, understanding from someone else's experience, that's a really good point. So that's for the people who want to break into cyber. And I've got few, you know, people in my connection who have done, you know, Cert 4 in cybersecurity, or they have done some micro learning on online resources, and they're trying to break into cyber. So they are doing their bit. They're trying to identify their skills. They're trying to, you know, highlight their skills and how they add value to cybersecurity roles. But what advice would you give on the other side? If, you know, if a hiring manager was open to learn and, you know, solve this problem of cybersecurity skill shortage, because there are people with skills, but they are unfilled jobs. So if we are able to bridge those two, that's the key, right? So what would be your advice to hiring managers? Can they do something differently, or what can be done?
Yeah, well, I mean, if I think about it, technology is changing so fast that just if someone has a good understanding of cloud practices, right, in the past, or maybe they have this certification, it doesn't actually mean in 2 to 5 years' time that they will still be that right candidate. So I suppose one thing is we know that tech is always evolving. So hiring someone on their technical understanding and experience at that point of time is somewhat the wrong approach, in my opinion. So I think we all know that tech can be taught, but attitude and values can't. So if it was me and I'm hiring someone, I would absolutely be looking at what is the attitude that I'm looking for. Do I want someone that is stuck in their ways, or do I want someone that's going to adapt to new technologies or new approaches and things like that and have innovative ideas? And I'll give you a really quick story from my past. I remember when I went for a promotion fairly early on in my career, and I think I had been tapped on the shoulder to go for this, if that makes sense. And so I applied for it, and I didn't really think that I was that qualified. And then I found out that there was someone else that was potentially about 15 years older than me at the time and way more experienced. And so I thought, they're going to get it, right? I was just like, that's an absolute no-brainer. I don't have anywhere near the experience that that person has. And what I found out was that I got the job. And I got the job because I had the values that they were looking for and the right fit for the organization. And so that is a great example of where if you had just gone off skills and experience, you would hire the other individual. But if you want someone that's happy to go with the company policies or adapt and learn and is hungry and all that type of stuff, then I suppose you take a chance, even though it's not really taking a chance. So for me, when I have ever managed people, the hardest bit is not getting them to learn tech. The hardest bit is around, do they get along with everyone? Can they communicate well? Are they interested to be here? Are they following what the group is following and meshing with the team? That is that if you ask any line manager, managing people is one of the hardest things that you'll do. So finding the individual that has the right values and also some transferable skills, if they're happy to learn, that's the people that you need, rather than the people that are all the same, that have exactly the same qualifications, but might pose a problem for the team or the organization moving forward because of the culture fit or their values misalignment or something like that.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and I completely agree, because people are learning cyber skills. Cyber is a new area relatively in technology, and there's so much changing that everyone, even in cyber, needs to learn and keep themselves, you know, upskilled constantly. It's a very dynamic space, but yeah, it's the values, the communication, and willing to keep changing, keep evolving, learn new things, and growing with the team, growing with the company is equally important. So yeah, no, I completely agree. Thank you so much. And that brings us to, you know, towards the end of the show today, but I thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the show and you share your insights and advice with listeners today. So thank you so much, and all the best, Emily.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. It's such an interesting topic.
Thank you. So thanks again, Emily. And so after having a very successful over a decade in cybersecurity, you have again pivoted in the last few years to public speaking and storytelling, and now you help people in technology and cybersecurity with their public speaking journey. So tell us about how can we get in touch with you and tell us about some of your services.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm most active on LinkedIn, and people can easily find me, Emily Edgley, on LinkedIn. I also have a fortnightly newsletter called The Magnetic Communicator. So if anyone's interested in ongoing inspiration, tips around storytelling, public speaking, communication in written and verbal forms, then they can subscribe to the newsletter. I do also offer group coaching programs. I do private coaching for people that either are preparing for a conference or even for interviews. And I do corporate workshops. So best place to find me is on LinkedIn, or they can find me on my website, which is www.emilyedgeley.com. The only thing to mention, and I'm not sure when this is going to air, but I am nearly about to have my second baby, and I will be taking time off from July to December, but I do have some online masterclasses that will be available. So people can still contact me via LinkedIn, but I'll be back to taking clients properly in 2024.
Thank you, Emily. Thanks for sharing those details. And you've been my go-to. You have, you know, helped me so much with my public speaking journey, because when I started last year presenting at events, I did a group course with you, and then also done one-on-one coaching and some ad hoc coaching for speaking engagements. So I can vouch for all your services. Thank you so much. And we're going to miss you in the next 6 months, but we wish you all the best with you, your family, and your new baby. Keep real, keep us posted, and you know, we'll just make do with those recorded videos for now, but we can't wait to have you back next year.
Wonderful. Thank you.